Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
For now, I want you to take your Bibles right away and go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be in verses 6 to 7 today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. I'm going to read it, continuing in our series, Expositions Through the Book of Philippians, and trusting that God is going to speak to us today, and I pray you're expectant for that. The Apostle Paul writes this in verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything." What a word for us today, isn't it? "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well, there's a lot to be anxious about in our world these days, isn't there? I know just talking to a number of you and those of you that are watching online, looking at my own life, there's a lot of things to be anxious about these days, but we have a word from the Lord to our anxious hearts today. To our hearts, maybe some of us more prone to worry than others, we have a word from the Lord for us, and I want to just unpack a little bit for us. And so if you have a pen, I want you to write this down or make note of it on your device. It is possible today, I want you to understand, to overcome anxiety. It is possible today to overcome anxiety and worry. I want you to look at verse 6. Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." In other words, he says, don't worry about anything. Now, if we're going to really understand the truth that God has for us, we got to remember the context again. These aren't flippant words from the Apostle Paul's lips. These aren't thoughtless words coming from someone who is totally disengaged from the reality of life's burdens. No, that's not what's happening here. You need to remember the context. The one who is writing these words to the church at Philippi, the Apostle Paul, where is he? Remember, he's writing from prison. He's chained to a guard, and they've told him that they're going to kill him because he's a follower of Jesus Christ. This is important context because it's easy sometimes for us, it's easy for well-meaning people to casually throw out sentences like, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. All the while being disengaged and lacking theological substance in their attempted encouragement. This is not what's going on here. When Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything," he himself is experiencing the burden-lifting peace of God in the midst of the most anxiety-inducing circumstances. He's modeling the truth that God will never command from us what he's not first willing to do in us. So let's stop for a moment right now and consider this, because when we hear the words, "Do not be anxious about anything," some of us truly believe in our hearts that this is impossible. When you hear the words from Scripture, "Do not be anxious about anything," if we're honest right now, some of us actually believe that it is impossible not to be anxious, not to be worried, because you're worried about your health. Literally, right now, all around the world, people are worried about their health because of this global pandemic. And some people hear this, "Do not be anxious about anything." They think, "How can I not be anxious? How can I not worry?" Or, "You're worried about the economy." I heard last week that in Lebanon, for example, that the economy is collapsing. The value of their currency is depreciating so rapidly, not just in Lebanon, but in many countries around the world. Here at home, we are concerned about the economy. There's no shortage of issues on the grand world stage to worry about. So when you hear, do not be anxious about anything, deep down in your heart, if you are honest, you are thinking, I don't know that that's possible not to be anxious. Because you're also worried about 1,000 things that won't make the news, but they weigh down your heart every single day. Some of you in this room, you're worried about the future of your children. Some of you are worried about your difficult marriage because it's just hard. Some of you are worried about whether or not you will get married because you want to and it doesn't seem like it's happening and you're worried. Don't be anxious about anything. Really? Is that possible? Some of you are worried about your job security or your financial stability, if you're honest, if we're honest together. And we want to be honest in church. You're honest today. You're wondering, is it really possible to overcome all this worry? Is it possible? Is it possible to overcome anxiety, especially as we consider the reality of the world that we're living in? I read a secular article this week entitled "The Negative Aspects of Social Media." Listen to a few of the things I read. Just get an understanding of the world that we are living in. It says this: multiple studies have found a strong link between heavy social media and an increased risk for depression, anxiety, loneliness, self-harm, and even suicidal thoughts. The study revealed that social media may promote negative experiences such as inadequacy about your life or appearance, fear of missing out. That's a thing. FOMO, that's a thing. I just learned about that. Isolation, depression, and anxiety, cyberbullying, self-absorption. This is the world we live in now, on top of everything else. On top of all of our daily burdens, on top of all our worries, underneath all of our worries, the very nature of the things of the world today, the way the things of the world are, it's conducive to worry. It facilitates worry. It even cultivates worry in our lives, maybe now more than ever. So, is it possible to overcome worry? Is it possible to overcome anxiety? The Apostle Paul says, yes. The Word of God says, yes. If you're worried today, the Word of God says, yes, you can overcome worry. You can overcome anxiety. If you've been chronically worried for years and years, you can overcome this. The Apostle Paul says, yes. So how do we overcome anxiety in our lives? We'll write this down, a couple things here. How to overcome anxiety in my life. Number one, write this down: by conscious prayer. By conscious prayer. Notice verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Let's stop right here. The Word of God is powerful. It is insightful. It has the answers that the world does not have. Here's what this verse is commanding. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's what the verse says. In other words, the remedy for our daily worries is the practice of conscious prayer. It must be conscious. You must be aware, because Paul says, in everything by prayer. The only way you can pray about everything is if you are conscious in prayer. If you are aware that I need to pray about everything, you need to have a consciousness. Paul says, in everything by prayer, pray about everything. Why? Why? Because by definition, prayer is dependence upon the one who is greater than I am. What are you worried about today? Paul says, don't be anxious about that, but in everything, pray. Pray about that. Why? Because the very nature of prayer acknowledges that We are dependent on one who is greater than me. So the thing that I'm worried about is not too big for him. Why? Because by definition, prayer is an expression of trust in the one who is supremely trustworthy. We lose sight of these things in the Christian life, don't we? The worries and the burdens of this world, they overtake us. But by definition, prayer is the active acknowledgement that I can't, but God can. Now, some of us, we acknowledge fully that we can't, but we stop there and we fail to acknowledge that God can. I can't, but God can. Therefore, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to pray about everything. So let's just think about this a little bit more logically and theologically for a moment. The Bible says that the more our hearts believe, the more our hearts will be relieved. The Bible tells us that the more our hearts can trust, the more our hearts can rest. The Bible says that the more our hearts will pray, the less anxiety will hold sway. Why? Because if we really believe that God loves us, if we really believe that God sees us, if we really believe that God is more powerful than we are, then as we pray, we actually begin to entrust all of our anxieties to Him. And when we begin to entrust all of our anxieties to Him, He takes them away. When we entrust our anxieties to Him, He says, thank you. He takes them away. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. I remember sharing this with you before. It was written of George Mueller that in the midst of a very hectic, busy, pressure-filled day, he was asked by someone, how do you maintain your composure and your calm and your joy on days like this? And I love this. Mueller looked at him and smiled and said, I rolled 60 things onto the Lord before breakfast this morning. That George Mueller would get up early to pray and to read the word. George Mueller made it a practice that as the pressures of the day came to his mind, he would roll them off to God. He would commit them to the Lord. He would pray about every single one. And as another pressure came, as another worry came, as another burden came, he would roll it on to his heavenly Father. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, what if we made it our practice and our habit to pray about everything? I believe so much in what God's word is telling us today, right now. More prayer means less worry. Because in prayer, we are giving all of our burdens to Jesus. And it was Peter who encouraged us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties upon Him. Why? Because He cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about me. And so how to overcome anxiety in my life? Firstly, by conscious prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Secondly, this, how to overcome anxiety in my life by conscious prayer. Secondly, this, by thankful prayer. By thankful prayer. Notice verse 6 again. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Here it is. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now on the screen, it was F.F. Bruce who wrote this. A grateful remembrance of past blessings is a safeguard against anxiety for the future. It adds confidence to the prayer for continued blessings. Hence the importance of thanksgiving in all true prayer. Thanksgiving. A thankful heart. Do you know, loved ones, how powerful this is, what I'm sharing with you? Did you know that some of the most powerful truths of the Christian life are some of the most foundational and basic? You don't need to move on from this too quickly. Thankful prayer. Because a grateful heart is a humble heart. Conversely, an ungrateful heart is a prideful heart. And much of the worry in our lives flows from the prideful assumption that I must carry my burden. Isn't it true? That's pride. I must solve my hardest problems. I have to do it by myself. I must control the outcome of any given situation in my life. That's a lot of pressure. And it's a lot of pride. An ungrateful heart is a proud heart. But Paul gives us a powerful antidote to this kind of prideful thinking that leads us to worry. The antidote is thankful prayer. That's the solution when you wake up in the morning and you realize that you're breathing. Thank you, Lord. Just when you wake up tomorrow morning, just stop and thank you, Lord, when you realize that you're breathing. When you open your eyes in your bed and you realize that you're safe. There's a lot of people in this world today that don't wake up safe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you sit up in your bed and you realize that you just enjoyed a beautiful night's rest, thank you, Lord. It's a gift from you. Thank you, Lord. When all of a sudden you realize the blessing of running water, the provision of food, the protection of shelter over your head, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're protecting me. You're providing for me. You're meeting my needs. What am I worried about? Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. When you look back on your life, do that right now for a moment. When you look back on your life and you remember the many times God delivered you, I say this very often because I know the people in our church, some of you should be dead. But God. Some of you shouldn't have made it through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All of a sudden, thanksgiving is fueling your prayer life. All of a sudden, all the things you're worried about become so small, and then you look at all that God has done for you, and you worship Him, and you thank Him, and it's fueling your faith, and it's fueling your trust, because when you look back on your life, you realize God has never left me. And then all of a sudden, you realize, why would He leave me now? Thanksgiving fills your heart, and anxiety begins to flee. It's not that your life has been perfect. It's not that your life has been easy. No, it's that God has been carrying you every step of the way. It's that God has been holding you. It's that God has been providing for you. Even when you didn't even realize the protection you needed, He was protecting you. And maybe 10 years later, you realize, man, that situation, I should have been dead. I should have been lost. Why am I here right now? Thank you, Lord. You do that right now, church, where you are. Just think about how God has been there for you, how He saved you, how He carried you through the trauma of your circumstance. What can we do when we look back? We say thank you. And we pray, thank you, Lord. I got a lot of things filling my heart right now that are weighing me down, but thank you, Lord. You've shown yourself faithful to me in the past. You will not stop now. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will not change now. how to overcome anxiety in my life by conscious prayer. Pray about everything. Everything. By thankful prayer, let the thanksgiving come from your heart to the Lord. Think intentionally, think hard. By the way, worry has a tendency to cloud our thinking, doesn't it? And we have to intentionally take our eyes off of that which we are worried about and onto the face of Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us and give thanks. I love the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And when you do that, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Conscious prayer, thankful prayer. Finally, this, how to overcome anxiety in my life. Write this down. Specific prayer. Specific prayer. Notice verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The word supplication refers to the action of asking for something earnestly and humbly. Paul is not talking about prayer as a vague general communication to God. That's what it becomes in our lives sometimes. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? Do you find that happening sometimes? It's just this vague general communication. No, Paul is encouraging bringing very specific requests to God. Notice it again in the text. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, it's not that God doesn't know what we need. And it's not that he's relying on us to tell him what we need. No, Matthew 6:8 says that he knows our needs before we even utter them. But there's something that happens in our hearts. There's something that happens in our hearts when we begin to bring our specific requests to God. When you name that person to God, when you articulate that problem to God, when you ask for that provision from God, moving from generalities to specific requests turns impersonal, legalistic praying into intimate and dependent praying. We cannot unburden our hearts unless we're willing to be specific with God. We can't cast these anxieties upon him if we're not willing to name these anxieties so specifically. Prayer, by the way, should be a very thoughtful process. You don't check your brain at the door when you pray. You think. Some of my most fruitful times in prayer have been when I'm thinking and writing in my journal. The implications of this and that, I need to bring all of this to God very specifically. Because it's then we unburden our hearts. Is this missing from your life? Specific prayer? We make a practice of saying, God, help me today. Well, what do you mean? God, lead me today. What are you talking about? God, give me strength today. For what? Well, I'm going into a meeting and the situation is like this and I'm really concerned that they're going to respond this way. And if I say this and I know I need to say this, they're going to respond this way. And I'm just going to bring that to my Father. Lord, when I say the thing that I'm supposed to say, when I say this to them, Lord, may their response be this. Lord, help me be specific. What do you need help with today? What are you worried about today? What are you anxious about today? What are you burdened about today? Who's that person in your life that you want to see come to know Jesus, or that person at work that is giving you a hard time? Or that habit that you're having trouble kicking and it's leading you into a lot of problems. Bring it to God very specifically. This can't be missing from the lives of the followers of Jesus Christ, if you're carrying a burden today, if you're tired, if you're worried, Paul says, not flippantly, so sensitively, but so powerfully, so sound theologically, this is what he says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But instead, pray about everything. With thanksgiving. Remember who it is you're approaching and all that he's done for you. With specific requests. And when you begin to name that person or name that problem or talk about that provision you need or the protection you need, your heart begins to see again more clearly how small this is for God, even though it's felt so big for me. It's possible, loved ones. It's possible to overcome worry by prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that hymn. All our griefs to bear. We forfeit this blessing, the hymn tells us. The blessing of taking everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. All because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, help us to be a praying church. Help us to be a thankful church. Help us to be a humble church. It's possible, loved ones, to overcome anxiety. Second and final point is this. It is possible then to, I'll write this down, find peace. To find peace. Notice verse 7. He goes on and says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm almost done here, but there's some very beautiful and foundational theology here that I don't want you to miss. I need you to understand it. Here it is. Before you and I can experience the peace of God, here's the important thing I want you to understand. You must be at peace with God. The peace of God that he's talking about here. Very important for you to understand this. Before we can experience and enjoy the peace of God, we have to be at peace with God. Part of the trouble is that so many people in the world are looking for the peace of God, but they are still at enmity with God. They're not at peace with God. On the screen, Colossians 1:21 tells us, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. So before Christ, we lived for ourselves. Before Christ, we served ourselves. Before Christ, we loved ourselves. Before Christ, we were at enmity with God, not peace. We were at enmity. We were hostile in mind, the word of God tells us. You can't have the peace of God if you are still in a position of hostility with God. You must be at peace with God. And the good news, and maybe this is for someone in this room, and maybe this is for someone watching at home. You're watching the events of the world unfold, and you see no peace, and you're hungry for peace. You look around, and you see the whole thing is falling apart, and you're yearning for peace. The peace of God is available, but you must first make peace with God. How? You recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You turn away from your sin. You see the error of your ways. You see your total inability to save yourself. and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, and you ask Jesus Christ to save you, and the blood of Jesus will wash away all of your sin, and the blood of Jesus will reconcile you, will bring you into right relationship with God. Then you've made peace with God because of his sacrifice on the cross. Now you can know the peace of God. I wonder if there's anyone that needs to make peace with God. Put your faith in him and trust him and come into friendship with him. Make no mistake, you cannot know the peace of God until you have made peace with God. Notice the text again, verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." A few things to note. If you're a child of God, if you've turned from your sin and trusted Christ, then there is a peace available to you, the peace of God, that defies logic. Did you see that in the text? There is a peace that is available that surpasses all understanding. Now, remember the context. The Apostle Paul is living this out. Does prison take away his peace? It should, but it doesn't. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Does a looming execution take away his peace? It should, but it doesn't, because the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Does loneliness in prison, away from all the people he loves, take away his peace? It should, but it doesn't. Why? Because the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Notice the text again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, watch this now, will guard, listen to me, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Huh, what do we learn here? We learn that our hearts need a bodyguard. Our hearts need a security detail. Our hearts are vulnerable to the onslaught of the attack of the evil one, to the attacks of all the things that are happening all around us that cause us to worry and be anxious. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. When you learn to pray about everything with thanksgiving, when you learn to bring your requests specifically to God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it's not based only on good circumstances. No, it surpasses all understanding. What does that peace do? It guards your hearts and your minds. It guards you. It protects you. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart. Or one translation says, guard your heart with all vigilance. Why? Why? How important is this? For from it flows the springs of life. Loved ones, every single day there is a battle raging, there is a war happening over your heart, your affections, your desires, your will, your ambitions. And the Apostle Paul says, you need to guard your heart. But guess what? In prayer, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. It'll guard your heart and mind from going off to that horrible way of thinking that just takes you down a bad road. Maybe you understand that today because you've been down those trails of thinking and it's just toxic. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. It'll guard your heart from trusting in yourself. The toxicity of trusting in yourself. How often do we trust in ourselves? I have to take matters in my own hands. I have to make sure this happens. I have to control it. And when I can't quite get the grip on the situation, I'm worried. I'm anxious. Paul says, no. Be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. And this peace that surpasses all understanding is going to protect you. It's going to protect your mind. It's going to protect your heart. There's a battle for the mind in these days. There's a battle for the heart. Just think about this. I'm almost done.
You go on your social media feed and you see post after post after post after post, and your mind and your heart is under attack and you don't even realize it. You read the news headlines, you see what's happening all around, and your heart and your mind is under attack because you're so worried. Your eyes are on other things. Eyes, loved ones, eyes on Jesus, praying about everything with thanksgiving, making our requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, it defies logic, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Say no to the toxicity of trusting in yourself, because trusting in yourself is only producing more anxiety, isn't it? Instead, say yes to trusting in Jesus, and the peace of God will protect your heart from worry and fear and despair and hopelessness. Some of us, our hearts have been exposed to all kinds of toxic forces that are trying to take over. And today, all of your burdens can just be given to Jesus Christ. All of your worries, all of your anxieties, today we can do that. You worship team, you can come on up here. We can give our anxieties to him. He loves us. He wants to fill your heart with peace, and he wants to protect your heart with his peace. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are, and if you need the peace of God today, even those of you that are watching from home, if you need the peace of God today, the very thing that you are worried about, you know what it is, it's coming to your mind right now. Just begin to pray about it. Lord, simple prayer, Lord, I don't want to worry anymore about this. Name it, whatever it is. Lord, I'm so tired about worrying about, name it, whatever it is. I'm tired, Lord. I'm going to cast it to you right now. Lord, would you take it? Take the burden of my financial insecurity, take the burden of the stability of my family, take the burden of my difficult marriage, take the burden of my specific addiction, take the burden of this relationship that seems to be falling apart in my life, take the burden that this COVID-19 pandemic has put upon my heart, take it all, Lord, please. I'm praying now, Lord, would you relieve the pressure? God, for every person in this room and every person watching, would you, Lord, relieve the pressure as so many different needs are being express to you now in prayer. People are being named to you. People that we're worried about, we're naming them to you right now. Problems that we've been facing, we're naming them to you right now. A specific provision that we need today. No one knows about it, but we do. You do. I name it to you right now. Help us, Lord. Now, if you're feeling anxious today, would you think of one or two or three things that you can thank God for right now? Thank you for saving me. You saved my soul. If I die today, I'll be with you forever. Thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for your word. I cherish your word. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the home that I live in. Thank you for the country that we live in. Thank you for the peace that we enjoy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're not a far distant God, but you're near and close. Thank you, Lord. Now, we offer you all of our worries. We give them to you. I pray you would help us to leave them there with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.